This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I did a tape show last week. It was a rerun. Had a bit of a tooth issue, and evidently, you know, teeth are in the mouth, and you got to talk, and I wouldn't be able to talk. So we had an emergency, so we had to do that. So that's why it was a tape show. So don't turn the dial. It's because you heard this program before, because this is a live new program. Like I said, I am Chris Plunkett. I'm your host of the Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ 1160, The Voice. It's going to be back. It feels really weird that you don't do one show and it's like, I haven't been here forever. But anyway, a lot of things happening. Not here for us in the Northeast area. We've, you know, crazy, crazy warm weather. You know, lots of people enjoy that. It's not as many people, I guess, flying to Florida. They don't need to now, right? But anyway, it's been very mild up here in the Northeast, and nothing to really report. I mean, God, we had Irene. We still have some after effects of Irene. Some dribbles of intel are still out there regarding processing of claims and things like that. But I will. I want to get out there. If you guys over here in the Jersey side, I know it was news around our whole region was an explosion in a car over here in Hackensack in Jersey, our county seat of Bergen County, and our good friend, valued concierge, if you will, here at the program, Lieutenant Steve Lindener from the Hackensack Fire Department, was on that call, and this older gentleman was smoking in his car with oxygen tanks, which is not too good. Thank God nobody got hurt. A lot of property damage, but the guys did sustain some injuries with the hearing and such. And I'm not going to get I don't know all the specifics. So I just know that Steve is the lieutenant is alive and well and is going to some doctors. And I just want us here at the show and to the guys at the fire department. Thank God no serious injuries. But you know, hearing is important. I'm not diminishing that either. But I'm glad that everyone was pretty much safe. With that said, we got a really busy show today. I got Jerry calling in from the Disaster Academy down there in Tennessee. They're just on the tip of tornadoes that affected our country or the areas in the Midwest and in the South in the last 2 weeks. Also, we have an ACP president calling in from Kentucky. She has a personal story to talk about, and also about the business continuity of what's happening down there. I think I'm not bandwagoning, if you know, talking about tornadoes, but you know, different kind of perspective. You know, because guys like myself, we do these cleanups after natural disasters, and it's kind of a different perspective on how, you know, you come in, because there's a lot of human toll, and there's a lot of death involved, unfortunately, with these tornadoes. And Jerry's got a perspective on that, and of the cleanup and the lack of there, but you know, the emotional state, and you know, because they got 97 or something like that in like one day, and they usually account for that's an entire month's worth. So it's very tragic and crazy. I mean, without warning stuff, and so we're gonna have Jerry's take on that, and we're also gonna have pretty soon Jerry will be calling in a couple minutes. Because I wanted to get to it, because we have Jerry, and like I said, we have our other guest is Lisa Bays, and like I said, she is the president of the ACP chapter in Kentucky. We'll get to exactly where she is when I get her on the line. With that, again, I'm glad that the lieutenant is safe and responding to that stuff. I'll leave that alone now. Region-wise, not much happening to really report high-profile fires and things like that. Thank God we had such a slew of them. It's insane. But this is also a time, with the weather being nice, is also to revisit your plans and your homes or your businesses. You know, you're not in the heat of a freezing cold or snow where you're dealing with the elements right away. So if you can take some of this time now to reevaluate or to initiate a plan, it's never too late to get a plan. I was in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, a couple of Sundays ago. One person was from D.C. that came up. They were contracted with the State Department. The other guy is a retired law enforcement and an active law enforcement person. And talking about the plans, and we were talking about things that we could talk about on the show. And I'm looking forward to those ideas and implementing them into the show. One of the great things for me with the show, and a dear friend of mine, I think Jerry, you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
All right. Jerry Giesinger, he's the the Academy guru down in Service Master Land down in Memphis, Tennessee. That's where I went to the Academy this past year, in 2011, and became fast friends with Jerry. And Jerry is the teacher, and I'm the student here. I thought I knew a lot of things, but Jerry really expanding my knowledge of the disaster recoveries of emergencies and things of that nature. A lot of good schooling. Jerry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you today?
It's always a pleasure. I'm doing great. Always a pleasure to have you on. You're very very important to the program. You bring the intelligence and a perspective as a student and as a teacher, because you were also a franchise owner and you see many things. So, you know, guys like us, we've seen a lot of things, and we try to take those lessons learned and apply them to our next disaster or emergency that we see. So, Jared, we're talking. I want to talk about the tornadoes, and Tennessee's a big state. You guys prepared. You know, we're you know, guys in our industry or our fellow franchises, you know, responding to some damage and things, but tornadoes are a whole different thing. Up here, we had one a couple of years ago, but, you know, the Northeast doesn't experience them that often, and it's a different type. You know, a hurricane you can prepare for, you know, you batten down the hatches, you do certain things. This is just a total different animal.
Yeah, if you and of course we're really akin to them here, simply because we are in what's known as a tornado alley, and that's a stretch of geography, if you will, that basically starts out in mid part of Texas, moves on through Oklahoma, and comes across Arkansas, Missouri, and just tracks, if you will, across Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, and continues east. And so that's really what's known as Tornado Alley. And unfortunately, those are things, as you say, you can't plan for. You watch the weather. If you watch the meteorologists on TV, they're saying, well, we're seeing something right now. That might be the moment you get a notice that a tornado has formed. It's all based on the weather. I mean, it's driven by weather. You can't predict it. You can predict the warnings, if you will, but that instantaneous time where that tornado funnel drops out of the clouds, you just don't know.
It's because, you know, our program and you and I mean, we are in the business of responding to disasters, but we don't want to lose life for these disasters. You know, property damages, those are things, but life's attached to this with these tornadoes is always devastating. There isn't a whole lot of cleaning up afterwards. Is that correct?
Well, actually, there is a lot of cleaning up.
I mean, I should say,
it's not the type of cleanup that your mitigation contractors are going to be involved in, unless they own equipment like bulldozers and cranes and trucks, because tornadoes have such devastating power when you start to look at and classified. Some of the ones that came through eastern part of Tennessee this time, southern Indiana, southern Ohio, Kentucky, we're in what's known as the F4 category. Those are tornadoes that are packing winds in the 170 range.
Crazy.
150, 170 miles per hour. That is huge, and there's not much that will hold back against them. So the devastation is tremendous, and there just isn't a lot there to salvage. As far as restoration side of it, restoring property back, basically the restoration process usually involves cleaning the site and starting over.
Yeah, I mean, we come in as you said, the mitigation company comes in. You know, there's things that we can, you know, we're rehabbing, we're cleaning up, and you can put those lives back together. With this type of disaster, there is it's really starting completely new, and then you got all those personal effects, which really, you know, everybody's got sentimental value. You know, a bed's a bed, a couch is a couch, but, you know, those the trinkets, the photographs,
yes,
things like that. There must be a valuable lesson somewhere about planning. I mean, there is. I mean, about inventory, right? That's a huge thing.
Yes, and that's something that everybody should give consideration to in this age of digital photography and this age of the ability to track and store large quantities of information. People, and the ease of doing so, people should have and take the time to go through their entire house and do an inventory, because, trust me, in the traumatic side of the aftermath of one of these disasters, whether it be a tornado or flood or fire or whatever, your recall just isn't there. And unless you've got something that's documented well, you're going to forget something. And then, of course, when you forget something, that's part of that claim that you're going to submit. And if you've forgotten it, it's a lost lost dollars. I mean, it's something that you can't recover. So doing an inventory is really critical, and then of course storing it someplace where it isn't affected by the natural disaster in the first place. It doesn't do you any good to to have it all documented and then put someplace in a cabinet or in a desk drawer, and the tornado blows the entire house away and you can't find any of that material. So you also have to understand where you're going to store that at.
Right. Big plan. I mean, we do, as Americans, we put a lot of value into things that we own and purchase, a little on the materialistic side of our country. But that's to let those other guys talk about that on their other shows. You know, one of the things, you know, you move from the south to the north, and the way some of the trails of these tornadoes, you know, you're talking about different makeup of homes. Basements, without basements, give me my listeners, you know, that part of the country, how it moves and what kind of building is involved over there.
Well, I live, as you said, Chris, in the western part of Tennessee, in Memphis, in that area. You will be hard pressed to find basements in this part of the country. And a lot of that, of course, is just the makeup of the ground underneath as to, you know, do we have high water tables? You know, can you construct basements in that area? And also just the historic way they used to do the building. A lot of it on slab. Most everything here is based on slab, which really doesn't afford you a lot of protection when you're trying to hold off some of these extremely volatile and extremely high-winded storms. You'll see brick buildings reacting different than concrete slab buildings versus stick buildings. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of things where a stick building, for example, when it collapses or blows, will splinter apart the wood materials and components and won't compress as much as, let's say, a brick building or a brick building. Those bricks and cinder block and that, when they come apart, they'll fall into smaller pieces, but yet won't have the devastation that a poured wall will, a concrete wall, which typically could just fall over. Mm-hmm. So there's a different levels, if you will, of injury that could occur dependent upon the construction of the building. Up north, in those parts of the country, in this particular round, you had them in southern Indiana, Ohio, and northern Kentucky, you probably find the terrain there that would be more sustainable to building basements, and that's one of the safer areas to go to. People head to the basement. They talk about getting to the interior of the of a building. Mm-hmm. There are some pros and cons to that based on the collapse factor of different elements. They tell you to get underneath a set of stairs when, in effect, a set of stairs in a building will probably collapse differently than some other areas, and so that might not be the best area. But yeah, construction has some. Definitely has some impact on the outcome of survivability of that structure.
Yeah. We're going to. I'm with Jerry Giesinger. He's the director down at the Academy, Disaster Academy at the Service Master in Memphis, Tennessee. Jerry, we'll go to break and be right back and continue with the tornado talk. Thanks.
You bet.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. Service Master Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, Service Master Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
The first time that we saw combat as a unit, it was more surreal than anything.
Retired Staff Sergeant Dan Nevins.
You're under fire, you're getting blown up. There's definitely adrenaline. There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. Had surgery after surgery, and I was on a lot of pain medicine. What's going to happen next, and how long am I going to be here? The Wounded Warrior Project dropped off a backpack for me, and it had everything in there that I could possibly have needed at that time. Peer visitors, people who had been where I had been before, said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. That type of thing is an invaluable service. To be honest, I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ 1160, The Voice. I almost sound professional, don't I, Jared, when I do that?
Oh, you did. Great job.
On the phone with a good friend and a mentor, Jerry Giesinger, who's the Academy guru down at the Disaster Academy down in Memphis, Tennessee, for Service Master, that I attended this past year and got some more knowledge. Jared, you know, with the tornadoes, you know, the preparedness of end of it, because it's such a destructive thing, it's the timing. Like I said, you know, when you have hurricanes, you can do steps A, B, and C and be ready for it, and this you just don't. Psychologically, and people here in the Northeast, like, why would you live in that kind of area and so on and so forth? Well, listen, we build all these major buildings right here on the seashore also, so why would you do that in the face of natural disasters? When people in those communities, because they could be wiped out so instant, you know, hundreds of years, the town's there, and the next thing it's not there, the rebuilding, the spirit of it, there's a big psychological effect with that in that part of the country, correct?
Yes, it is. You know, and I think that when you look at a tornado versus a hurricane, when you look at a hurricane, you talk about widespread area. Even in the geography of it, they talk about landfall will be in such and such an area, and they go hundreds of miles in any one direction. I think one of the pieces of psychology here in a tornado is when you take a look at a tornado, it isn't necessarily all that wide. It doesn't cover that large an area from side to side. You can have tornadoes that will carry a path that maybe only be a couple hundred yards wide. And so when you think of that, that isn't all that much area. Length of it might be a little different. You have some of these that will travel many, many, many miles. So it's almost kind of like saying, I've got to gamble here a little bit. The fact that if it hits, it certainly is going to be devastating, potentially, depending upon the severity of the tornado. But I think some of it, the psychology in preparing for it or not preparing for one of these, is the fact that, well, it probably won't hit me. The chances are that it won't hit me because its path is fairly narrow in a lot of cases. You know, some of them talk about a half mile or three quarters of a mile wide, but again, in the scheme of things, that isn't that much area. But when you see the devastation left behind after one of these very severe ones, it does have somewhat of a awakening process to it.
Yeah, I was when I was down this past year, Memphis had a tornado. It was on the other side of the other side, but I guess about 5 or 6 miles away. And the sirens went off, and I've never experienced it before. I've never seen those types of winds, because the hurricane winds are different than the tornado winds that we had up here with Irene in the past, you know, 20 some odd years that I've really been cognizant of what a hurricane is. It's a different type, and it was really funny because some of the people that were from other parts of the country that were in that class with me, you know, were pressed up right against the window looking for, I'm like, you know what, maybe that's not a good idea. You know, because you just don't know. It's a wild card with those things.
And every one of these is a little bit different. You can have these that can come out just as a small little fingerling coming out of the clouds that will touch down and bounce. Some of the tornadoes, they just have each one has a character of its own, characteristics of its own. It'll bounce, or if it ones that stays on the ground, those are the ones, of course, that are going to give you the most devastation, is because they're now attached to the ground, and as they move forward, and they have that very tight, swirling wind, which is what creates such velocity and such wind speeds, and does the greatest amount of devastation. And when you get into those that have that great amount of devastation, basically they flatten buildings, they move buildings. I've lived through some of these, not exactly been in any one direct line of fire, but have seen the aftermath. 2x4 stuck through trees, Just it's very eerie the way it looks. I mean, you trees just literally shredded of any type of foliage to them, and all they've got is just the trunk sticking out and some of the branches. So when this truly is the example of a war zone type look, and those type of disasters we don't have any real involvement in as far as being able to do cleanup. Now you can get some of those ancillary things. You can have a house flattened in one spot, and right next to it is a house where maybe just the roof is blown off or damaged. Mitigation wise, our people will get involved in those type of things, because now we can do board ups. We can do protection of the remaining structure and the contents and so on. But
right,
that's really kind of the extent of it.
You know, now, this round of tornadoes, I know neither one of us are weathermen, but you are you're very experienced in being across this whole country with natural disasters. They're coming in later at night, and they used to be more during the daytime. Is you know, we're looking at a different wild card. I mean, it's a wild card as it is. Then you're adding this at nighttime when people are sleeping.
Well, an interesting phenomenon I heard of the other day was the fact that, and they're also earlier in the year this year.
Right, yeah,
typically
right.
In this part of the country, and you're going to see tornadoes coming more in the April time frame. And the rationale being given by the meteorologist, and I do believe it, is that it has to do with the absence of snow on the ground. That in the upper parts of in northern Kentucky, the southern Indiana, that part of the country, very little snow cover, and so you've got great heating. That's going on, heating and cooling, and it's that heating of cooling, that rapid heating and cooling, that creates the instability of the air and creates an environment for the creation of tornadoes. So one of the factors they're indicating here is the lack of snow cover.
Wow, that's I did not hear that at all. That's
yeah,
that's an interesting point, and rightfully so. It makes sense, doesn't it? Because we have it by now.
Yes,
we're coming on the tail end of the winter, but a lot, you know. The big news guys out there, again, we're news, but we're information here. But one of the great things is there has been plenty of miracles along these lines, and you and I are going to talk. I'm sorry, the phone's ringing, but we were going to talk about something in the next week about protecting yourself inside these types of things. And let's just touch just a little bit of what you and I would talk about before the show, and then we'll expand on it next week if you can. I know you're going to be you'll be out west, or we could do it the following week. Talk to me.
I'm probably going to make reference to something that was an article that was published, or a story published by an expert in disaster rescue, and it's something, a little phenomenon called the triangle of life, and it talks about we've all been told to go and hide under things in impending, that really that might not be the best thing to do. So we'll kind of whet the appetite here, and that actually, instead of hiding under that desk or hiding underneath that bed, that probably the best thing might be to get beside it. And it all centers around the crush factor, and there's something called the triangle of life, but that's actually the best spot for you to go.
Yeah, we'll expand on that. Like I said, maybe next week or the week after. Well, actually, the following week, I do have good news. I'll be down at the Disaster Recovery Journal, which is now becoming part of the program, and also advisors to the program. They're going to have their spring conference, and you know, hundreds of companies on business continuity and insurance and things are down in Orlando. My wife and kids want to come, but it's work; it's not play. But if we don't do that, we'll do the following week, because Jerry and I want to collaborate on some of the things we've been thinking about. Is you know, a valuable tip, like, you know, the tip of the week, if you will, and Jerry's with a wealth of knowledge, and I think it'll be a very good added value to our program. You were talking about some of the things that some of these miracles with the, you know, with this crush factor, and then people, you know, with the school bus driver, that was a great story. But you have a slew of them, because you're in the heart of it, basically, because you guys got to prepare, because you're in Tennessee, and even though Tennessee is very wide, it's a big state, a lot of people up here don't really understand, I shouldn't say don't understand, but you know, that part of the country, how it maps out. Some of the stories that are coming out down there are, give me one of those type of stories.
Well, we had there's actually a couple out there. There's one that made the news, the national news this morning. I don't know if your listeners had caught it or not, about the young mother trying to protect her two children. Their house was absolutely destroyed. You saw the pictures of it. The house was gone. She had wrapped her children in the blanket and then had laid on top of her children in order to protect them.
Wow.
She actually suffered multiple injuries, severe injuries, broken ribs, lost one leg or half of a leg at the knee, one above the ankle. But yet that was a, she had provided a cushion, if you will, in order to protect these two children. The other one that was the story about the school, and that was, I believe, in southern Indiana. The school where the superintendent had the foresight to say, I'm not going to wait for such a time for the evacuation order or to hear more about the, whether we, instead of just having a watch, we now have a warning or an impending tornado. They released the school about 15 minutes early than normal and than they would have, and get the kids on the buses and sent down the road. And in retrospect and looking back, that tornado arrived 13 minutes later. So that precaution probably saved a tremendous amount of those children's lives during that tornado.
So, you know, always resorting back to the gut feeling, and you know what, I got to flee, got to go. That's fantastic, Jared. Always a pleasure. And if we can touch base, maybe we go with that our first week with the tip of the week next week. If you can, if you can't, we'll do it the following.
Be happy to do so.
Excellent. Jared is the runs the academy, the Disaster Academy for Service Master. I am a Service Master franchisee, and Jared is been schooling many people across the country to come down there for 3 weeks and a couple weeks, and then get their QRV standard, if you will, and which is a very high, high functioning individuals with the mitigation world. I tell you, a lot of things I learned. Jared, always a pleasure taking time out of your busy day. You know, anytime you got intel you want to come in besides our regular stuff, give it to me. Let me get it out to the listeners. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Happy to do so, Chris, and thank you very much for the time. It's been great spending a little bit of time with you today.
All right, Jared. See you soon. Take
care. All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Go to a break. Next guest, I think, is waiting. And Jared, again, thank you very much. And pay some bills. Be right back.
You know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. Service Master Restoration by CPP is the answer. Service Master Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Hi, this is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come and go.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. Thank you very much, Jared, for taking some time out. Jerry is a valuable friend and, like I said, consigliere, also many consigliere's here for an Irish guy saying an Italian word. But we're going to move right along. My next guest, Lisa Bays, is on the phone. Lisa is the president of the ACP chapter down in Kentucky, and it's Kentuckiana. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Nice. See, a guy from up in Jersey can say those
very
words.
Very good.
How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Chris. How you doing?
I'm okay. You know, my first guest is Jerry. Jerry was a teacher of me for the Service Master Disaster Academy. And a lot of, obviously we're a mitigation company. That's what I do for a living besides this big shot radio guy. But, it's what I do more on my day job or my night job, whatever time the phone rings. And we talked about the personal end, how people are affected and such. I wanted to get also introduce myself to you because we are both members of the ACP, and that's international.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In your chapter, I know you have some personal stories we'll refer to, but also the business at hand is keeping business in business. And one of the things that I thought about, along also with my good friend Andy Weitzberg from the ACP in Long Island, was the business with the tornadoes. I mean, they always show in the personal side, but business is the driving force to get first responders. It's tax base, that kind of thing. So that's got to be part of a plan down in your neck of the woods in Kentucky, and like Jerry said, Tornado Alley. One of the challenges, right?
Yes, absolutely. It absolutely is. I mean, that's one of the first things in identifying risks for clients I've worked with or other companies is, let's look at the tornado issue. Let's look at, we also have earthquakes, not that often, but still, we're kind of, again, near that Madrid fault
right
line and whatnot. But tornadoes would probably be, in this area, one of the top ones that we have to take into account.
So when you and I spoke before, what are depending on the business, I would assume, and also the supply chain is going to be affected too. Is tornadoes, like for us up here, we have nor'easters, we have hurricanes, different severities, but we also have the unfortunate thing, we have the human element, we have terrorism. Not to say that the rest of the country does not, or suspected of having those, but one of the contingency planners up here for this business, or do you have terrorism insurance or a rider on your insurance? So tornado is number one as in the contingency for ACP members and or local businesses.
It's up there in the top, top three. Again, this is my opinion. So
right, sure, no, it's valuable.
But that's that's probably one of the first risks that we look at in talking with customers and just suppliers in general is, okay, what is your plan if your corporate headquarters is gone? And so how are you going to get back up and running and identifying your critical functions, whether it's payroll, getting the paychecks out, that kind of thing, and keeping the company going?
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing this for 20 some odd years. You're the owner of Clark and Bays Consulting. Numerous accreditations and certifications and a certified business continuity professional. Most of the people and when you and I first talked, I always get the sense that there's always the passion. Most of the people who come on, actually pretty much all the people that have been on my program, had that same passion about doing the right thing and trying to get the other person prepared. And it's a constant challenge. So with the tornadoes, now that it's hit ground zero, how do these plans get implemented? And if they don't, are people reaching out? And what's the business community doing?
Like with any situation, it takes an event to kind of light a fire under some folks. I know a couple of years ago when we had the windstorm coming through from Hurricane Ike, talking with some folks, they were sort of teetering, prior to that, do we get a generator? Do we do this? Do we do that? After the windstorm, decisions have a tendency to get made a little bit quicker.
Right.
And that's just human nature. With the tornadoes and where we lie in Louisville, again, as Jerry mentioned, we are in Tornado Alley. Some of us, including myself, we had back in 1974, a similar situation with bands of tornadoes coming through. They call them supercells that also came through. So it seems that this region is a little bit more aware of the impact of tornadoes, but to be very honest, I mean, the last couple of days and when everything started to happen on Friday, it was just such an unusual situation. One of the things, and I made some notes to kind of go over with you, the news channels, the local news channels were on all day, mm-hmm. and I thought that was very unusual. And it concerned me because it's like, wait a minute, you know, they really must be planning on something major happening, because I've never seen that happen before, where, you know, they didn't just, pop in during shows. They were on the entire day, pretty much, you know, getting people and telling them to get prepared and really, really tracking these storms. So that was very unusual, at least in my opinion, because I had never seen that before, even this area. excuse me. A couple of other things. When you're talking about getting companies prepared, when I'm working with a group, one of the things I try to stress to a CEO or senior management is, yes, you've got a great business continuity, disaster recovery plan, you've got it all down, it's all on paper, okay, that's great, you have everyone identified. Understand that depending on the severity of the situation and, you know, is this a regional event like we just had, the home front is going to come first. Mm-hmm. No matter how much somebody loves their company, you've got to take into account your personnel, your employees, and make sure that, you know, they're okay, you know, not just when they're within your building, but outside of it as well.
Right.
I tell a lot of folks, you know, identify those employees who maybe have to take care of elderly family members or family members with medical needs, because first of all, you don't want to assign a critical function to that person because they have something much more important to take care of should something happen than whatever your business function is.
Yeah, you know, a buddy of mine that I went through the academy with, he was a Mississippi State Trooper, and he responded to Katrina with first security because, you know, evacuating the city or doing their best to evacuate the city, but, you know, worrying about being, you know, his family in the path of Katrina down in Mississippi, because, you know, New Orleans gets a lot of ink, and rightfully so. Mississippi got crushed also. The tug between, you know, do I do my civic duty of protecting and saving, or, you know, do I take care of my family? So you're right, the business owner foremost is the human asset. That human asset is they're the ones who really are the driving force behind you making money if you're a business owner, or you're a manager, make your life, you know, good employees. I always thought that was, you know, some, you know, it's a very doggy world out there, and but, you know, I think a little compassion along those lines, like, listen,
oh, absolutely.
Go home. Mm-hmm. It really goes a long way. I mean, my old man used to say it doesn't hurt to smile, and it really does. And I'm not preaching here, but to take care of your own is, you know, at the home front. That's because you can always make the money the next day. But if they're missing, if you're going to slay, you know, I don't know. That's just the way I look at it. And as an ACP member, you know, business continuity is what I think about very often.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. I mean, it's something that you need to convey to your, your clients and or getting new clients.
Right. Gosh, I was going to mention something. One of the things, if in taking care of your employees, or at least making sure, even if somebody doesn't have a critical function with the particular plan, it's so important that all employees in the company know that the organization has a business continuity disaster recovery plan.
Right.
You would think that's a no-brainer, but, you know, I've seen some situations where I've talked with folks who didn't even have a clue that their company had one. So it's, you know, it's very important that they know that, you know, yes, we've got this, you know, yes, we're testing it, here's what's going on. It doesn't hurt to share this information and communicate with your employees, your vendors, mm-hmm. your suppliers. This is what we have, you know, to protect our assets and our company. Oh, and by the way, and this is what we're going to do to help our employees with family members and whatnot. Again, the same thing. If I'm talking with someone and we're assigning responsibilities, and I know this person has small children, or, again, kind of goes back to taking care of family members, you know, the company is not going to be the first thing that's going to pop into their mind. It's going to be, oh, my gosh, where are my kids? Are they on the bus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, making sure that they're taking care of it, you know, that way. So it's really, really critical to look at the human function or the human part of this, because it's just, you know, it's just so critical.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's worried about, you know, their bottom line, and rightly so, but you got to take care of your folks. You got to take care of your people.
And the supply chain, and a year ago, Jerry and I were talking about the Mississippi. We were having decent weather up here, but the Mississippi was with the flooding, and the whole Delta was flooding. You know, the Mississippi is, pretty much the main artery in our country for goods and services being shipped up and down. And when that river gets shut down, it was funny how that for 3 or 4 days that there was an interruption, the economic effect that affects up here in the Northeast of those goods not coming up here. And you'll see those some of these things spiking out at higher prices, and you say, oh geez, you know, the economy. But it's really these natural disasters, just like with Japan, with you couldn't get certain products,
right, with the tsunami and everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And those are probably those things, you know. And I know you have some real life experiences that we'll go when we come back from the break, you'll talk about. But those things that you need to convey to your clients, that listen, just because you're not affected here doesn't mean down the road or the other part of the country, where do you get your cups, where do you get your napkins, whatever, widgets, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that once we identify and working with a customer who their key, you know, business partner clients, you know, talking to that purchasing director and saying, okay, number one, do your vendors have business continuity plans? Well, I mean, it's usually, I don't know, we're not real sure. And I said, well, we need to make sure that they understand that they're a part of our plan. And by the way, what's going to happen should something impact their company, because they're a major supplier.
Right.
And because that is going to, like you said, trickle down and hit us hard.
Yeah, I think there's this misnomer that it's like a dirty thing to talk about. Like, you don't want to infringe on somebody, saying, but you do. You're like, are you prepared? What happens if you go down? You know, I'm not gonna get my pizza sauce. You know, Northeast, lots of good pizza.
Right.
But we'll add to that, plus with a couple of your stories from the tornadoes of the last week and change. Go to a break, pay some bills, and be right back with Lisa. Stay with us.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
At least 1 in 4 businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least 1 in 4 businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan, because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the ninth floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
This is Sean Connery. One could easily forget that freedom isn't always free. Freedom comes at a price. If you would like to support those who personally bear the cost of freedom, please join me in honoring all the paralyzed veterans of America who have served and sacrificed for this country. Please visit the Paralyzed Veterans of America website at pva.org. Thank you.
We're back. I'm not supposed to say what I used to say, but we're back with Lisa Bays, who is the president of the ACP chapter in Kentucky. It's Kentuckiana, Kentuckiana chapter. There will be a link if anybody wants to tap into that. I got somebody doing some things in the studio. Lisa, we went to the break. You know, one of the commercials I run, one of the PSA announcements, public service announcements, is 1 in 4 businesses don't respond from a natural disaster. You know, it's really funny about, you know, that number has been like that for so long, and especially in this age of post 9/11, about having, you know, a lot of businesses didn't come back from when downtown with the towers went down. You know, that's your mantra. I mean, you really can't say that enough to our clients.
No, I mean I mentioned, you know, the horror stories that and everything that we heard about after the towers and such, and just how important it is to have these plans in place to keep going. And, you know, people are so shocked when I'll tell one of the stories or after talking with a vendor, but they still have that mindset of, well, that won't happen here.
Right.
It's like, gosh, you know, you just jinxed yourself. Hope not. Hope it doesn't happen. But you got to be prepared for this stuff. So, you know, it's sometimes difficult to really convince folks, business owners, that it's so critical to have this in place, and hopefully you never have to use it.
Yeah, you know, one of the aspects, one of the very good aspects of technology with disasters is, I know they've been, you know, for years, business continuity and the disaster recovery has always been about the IT end of it, the IT of it. But now, I've got, you know, wanted to mention the cloud. You know, you can have all these things, you know, was talking about Jerry, you know, furniture is furniture, okay? Maybe you have a rocking chair that's been in the family for 100 years. I get that. I do. But, you know, dining room chairs and plates and things like that, you know, they can be replaced. You know, life can't, or the memories of that life can't. And one of the things you were talking to me about before, tell me about your personal experience and preparing for using the iCloud. I mean, the cloud. That's very cool. I like that. Tell us about that.
Well, my husband does just photography on the side, and one of the things I was always worried about is if something were to happen. If you watch particularly what happened the last couple of days here in Kentucky and Indiana, people search for the photographs. They search for those items that you cannot recreate. Mm-hmm. For the most part, you don't have the negatives, or it's damaged as well. So one of our ideas was to scan, you know, we've scanned our wedding pictures, we've scanned, you know, old photographs, and being able to store them. You know, I've got a cloud account, so we store it out there, so that way if something were to happen, you know, we can reconstruct those photographs. You don't even have to go to that extent. If you just, you know, put it on a disk and put it in a safety deposit box, or I'll tell family members, if they live on the other side of town, okay, scan it and email them, or put them again on disk and just give it to another family member who doesn't live close by. It could be just something as simple as that.
Right.
Just so it's not in that immediate area and you take the risk of it becoming damaged or lost. One of the things that you and I had talked about earlier was my experience with a family member on Friday. Mm-hmm. I was at my mother-in-law's house just spending the day with her, and the storms were coming through, and you know, I was getting a little nervous on some things. She has a little condo, got a basement set up and everything, but she's not very steady with the basement. But, you know, she got a crash course in disaster recovery planning because, mm-hmm. you know, I said, you know, okay, what is valuable emotionally here in the house? And, you know, she started looking around, well, you know, all of her little knickknacks and whatnot. And I said, okay. I said, let's look at stuff that we cannot recreate, like my father-in-law's Bible, the photographs, even, you know, stopping and thinking. And she even thought of this. She started packing up all of her medication.
Right.
Which I said, oh, thank you, so that we had everything ready. And we did go downstairs when they had the tornado warnings coming through. Mm-hmm. And she was all set down there with her medications, and we had our the other items that were near and dear to her.
Mm-hmm.
And what was funny is, you know, she starts talking about, well, you know, we've got the desk upstairs or better. I said, well, you know, I can't move furniture. We
right.
can replace that stuff.
Right.
So let's look at the things that we want to make sure that you have, that you would just be so crushed if you could not have that
right
anymore.
You know, some municipalities up here in where we live, and Jersey is heavily populated in the most towns in any state, and I think somewhat, but you know, so we're not a very big state, but some municipalities have the it's kind of a lookout program for the elderly, because that's also a challenge in its own right, because they have, and they're in their own set ways, disaster recovery and planning for things like that, that's just not their era. You know,
right.
And, you know, so you, one, the cool thing that you did say about the medication, because a lot of people, that's not part of their plan. They completely
right.
forget about their meds. But the challenges of dealing with an older person, and I've had several in this past year. I spend a lot of time, you know, because I think about it, it's like, is this my grandmother, my mother, you know, conveying, say, listen, you can't stay here. I had a woman with 7 feet of water in her place, and she in her basement, and the house was just covered with mold, and that's just a little mold. That's a little mold. You know, it's just it's a very challenging thing to convince somebody that your way really doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I ended up staying and spending the night with her, even though all the storms had already come through. But my husband was at home, so he was taking care of things on that end. I stayed with her. I could tell she was still a little bit nervous about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, just ease of mind, somebody's around, so that, you know, the other thing, the other family members didn't have to worry about her.
Right.
I immediately sent out a text to let them know that I was with her, so that they didn't have to worry about her as well as what was going on in their homes. So, again, just sort of, you know, taking care of everyone and making sure that everybody was good and safe. And, again, that communication of, you know, hey, mom's fine. Don't worry about it. You go deal with whatever you got to deal with.
Right. And then we talk about the business side of it. You know, people don't want to know about a disaster happening, so they don't have a plan.
Right.
And, you know, our program, I'm always going to say it, you know, about, you know, it is the part of this program is repetitive. We do say the same thing week in, week out. But just like a good buddy of mine who was a volunteer fireman, I had him on the show, Dan O'Brien, last year or something. And the program, somebody heard the program. The kid came on the comments page the following week and said, I just want to thank you for last week's guest. It made me think about volunteering as a fireman. And the kid went out and did it, you know.
Great.
And that was so cool.
Wow.
So, and then we also had a good friend, Steve, Lieutenant Steve Lynn, in there. He's a Hackensack fireman up here in Bergen County in Jersey. And, you know, if we get to one person, that, you know, that's the whole thing. So, you know, one out of four businesses don't respond, you know, so you being in the BC part of it, of DR, you know, it, you know, you have to be repetitive, because there's going to be that one time you are going to reach somebody and you're going to make a difference. And that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I preach, and, you know, we all spread the word. That's one of the things with the ACP and with the Kentuckiana chapter as well. You know, our responsibility is to educate folks,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, our employers or clients, but, you know, people we go to church with, just, you know, you go to the gym, you know, somebody may ask, you know, what do you do? And usually, you know, once I tell them, I get this really blank look.
Right,
and
it's,
all right,
right,
yeah, here's an example. And they're like, oh, okay.
Right.
But it's just, you know, stuff. Well, really quick, had the same conversation with a friend of mine about the photographs and such yesterday, and he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that, scanning them or placing them on the cloud or just getting the scanned images someplace else. He goes, I'm going to do that for my parents. photos. I said, great. You know, and it didn't take that much time, or and even having a cloud account, it's not that expensive. But again, he saw the importance of doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, not being able to, again, recreate this stuff, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Lise, I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad your family members are safe, and hopefully nothing tragic happened to anybody. Your 6 degrees of separation. Lisa is the president of the ACP chapter in Kentucky, Kentuckiana chapter. She also is the owner of Clark & Bays Consulting. They are a business continuity consulting firm. Lisa, your contact information is up on our website. Anybody wants to comment about being in the South with the tornadoes, feel free. We'll check that. We'll give you a heads up if somebody's looking out for you. And again, you know, it's been hairy down there for you. I really appreciate you taking some time, and as a fellow member of the ACP, hopefully, you know, I see you at the big thing next year.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
That was my pleasure. Take care. Be safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
So, you know, we have, like I said, we don't get through too many disasters, too many tornadoes up here. So hopefully that was informative. I think it was. It was for me. Sorry about taking last week's off. It you know kind of breaks the the flow of the show when I throw in a tape show. So I definitely apologize about that. And listen, this weekend is the time change, and what do all the fire department guys who've been on the program, and OEM guys, and law enforcement guys, and they're always talking about the changing of the batteries when we change the turn of clocks ahead or back. So do your smokes and do your carbon monoxide detectors. Check your batteries. If it's even if it's hardwired, put in the batteries anyway. You never know when you lose power. Also, our good friends at the 200 Club, the president there is Jack Terlhoon here in Bergen County. We're going to try to get Jack on soon. He's good friends. My brother's friendly with him, and I'm also a member there for our first responders and helping with when the government can. You know, it's a good charity. But with that said, I think we're going to be wrapping it up. You know, let's end the wars and bring these kids home already. You know, we'll be heading down a couple weeks. We're gonna be doing a live show from Orlando, so be on a heads up for that. There's that heavy bass playing again, and is that it? We're done. I think we're done. So again, end the war, bring home our troops, be safe, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.